Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from the Grow Group and Grinder Landscaping Company with another episode of The Grow Show powered by Steel. This week we have Brian Fullerton from Brian's Lawn Maintenance and Fullerton Unfiltered. He has one of the most successful podcasts in the green industry. We're going to have a great time talking to Brian, lots of fun. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since getting into the office early. I love this time of year, ladies and gentlemen. When the sun comes up around 5:30 a.m. in Dayton, Ohio, I do better when God has the lights on for me. I find myself so much more productive. I'm a big planner, and there is nothing better than getting into the office when it's quiet, long before anyone else gets in, and getting things done. Give it a shot. Now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Brian Fullerton, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Marty. Appreciate it. And looking forward to it. This is going to be good.
I'm sure many people watching on YouTube, listening, recognize your voice. Brian, most people with us, I think, will know who you are. But just in case they don't, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, the personal, the family? How'd you get to where you are now? Like, for example, in some small talk before we went live here, I learned that you used to work for True Green Chem Lawn. I did not know that. Yep. Give us a little bit of the history so people understand how you got to where you are today. And remember, there may be a lot of people here, unfortunately, don't know who you are.
Yeah, no, hey, I super appreciate that. And I mean, it's an honor, first off, to be on a show like yours, Marty, and even to get to know you and have you know my name. That's a dream come true. And I can take that off the dream board. But nonetheless,
you're very kind. My wife's going to call you later and question your sanity, but go on.
I love it. Yeah, but she's probably best friends with my wife saying the same thing with you, right?
There you go.
I'm with you, brother. We're both in the bonus round here. But yes. I've been doing this for, gosh, almost like 20, 25 years. So a very typical story as many. Got started with a push mower. I was 10, 12 years old. Used to mow lawns in my mom's trailer park, you know, where we grew up. Very humble beginnings. Had no money, no means, no education. Very little of any like opportunity, if you will. Just, I mean, imagine a young kid growing up in a trailer park in southeast right. Detroit, Michigan. So over the years, cut grass as a little kid, had more cash in my pocket than probably most 30-year-olds, you know, these days. And then somewhere along the way, my mom said, you have to grow up and get a big boy job. And to me, when I was 16, the closest place that I could bike myself to was a Little Caesars franchise. And so started slinging pizzas. Long story short, climbed up that little corporate ladder. Was running my own store that was doing $1 million per store average sales.
Wow.
Yes, at 18 and a half years old with a team of misfits, hiring and firing people. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. Made it work. And then unfortunately got laid off from that job. There's a whole story there. But at 19 years old, I was basically like 2 years past where all my peers were going into college. So I didn't want to be like the old fart on campus, you know, restarting my life. I also didn't have a lot of job experience. I slung pizzas. So one day I went to, gosh, I think back in the day, Marty, it was monster.com, if you remember that. And I saw a manager, route manager with True Green Chem Lawn. I didn't know anything about chemicals. I didn't know anything about spraying lawns. I didn't know anything about anything. All I saw was $12 an hour starting. And I figured I'd go boss a bunch of people around, right? Well, short story long, interviewed well. The guy's like, great. Well, we'll see you here tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning. And here's your rubber boots and your rubber gloves. And I went, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Again, I was a night owl slinging pizzas, hanging with my friends at Denny's, you know, at 2 a.m. And now I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to go spray lawns, pretending like I have any idea what the back of the label means on some of these chemicals, right? So it was a learning experience for sure. Did that for about 12 months. It was a great job. I actually really enjoyed the organization. As many say, it's a selling organization that happens to sell fertilizer instead of like a fertilizer company that right. happens to sell. So I learned a lot about route density, production, door-to-door sales. I really actually enjoyed it. But one day, here's my whole like Baywatch moment, I call it. A little throwback from the 80s and 90s, if you guys remember. I was parked on the side of the road with my tanker truck, about to turn the PTO and go spray a lawn. And these two young guns were across the street. They were in shorts and a t-shirt. They were drinking a Gatorade. It was slow motion. They were dropping down the gate and going to cut a lawn for, you know, $25 or whatever back in the day. And here I am in my tanker truck, no air conditioning, getting up at 5 a.m., full PPE, rubber boots, rubber gloves, getting sprayed in the face once in a while by, you know, like who knows what. And I just thought to myself, this ain't it. I remember cutting grass as a kid. I'm going to go back into business for myself. How hard could it be? Never was a statement uttered that was more wrong in my life, you know, because right. Lord knows I had no clue how to run a business or cut grass right. professionally. Went up to my local dealer. I don't know if it was a day or a week, a month later, but I went up to the dealer, bought a little Xmark Viking walk behind 48 inch mower, started cutting grass in the trailer park where I started. I was in business for myself. I got started with my brother's little Dodge Durango that he had parked at the house because he was at Michigan State. They didn't allow cars up at the campus for freshmen. Had my little trailer that I picked up from Tractor Supply. I mean, putting this thing together with, you know, duct tape and popsicle sticks, yeah. Marty. I mean,
right.
ridiculous. Grew the business for about a decade to just an owner-operator business. We were doing sub 100 grand, nothing crazy. And then something happened in my life that I know happens to many folks. And this was a big turning point, and we can always break this down more later. But met a girl. Met a beautiful little lady. Her name's Liz, my first wife, my only wife. And long story short, dated, engaged, got married pretty quick. And I realized after about 2 years of being married that we were dead broke. And I had my little business. She had her little career. And one day she said, well, I want a house and I want kids and I want a car that turns off when you pull the key out. Like very, very greedy, you know, very greedy.
Right.
So back in the day I went, well, I probably should make something of this thing. And actually, ironically enough, was, exposed to a lot of like YouTube lawn care content, like 2015, 2016, and two kind of parallel paths happened. I started making content totally accidentally, started growing the business a little bit more intentionally. And, we've been on these like kind of parallel paths growing, our company, Brian's Lawn Maintenance, out of, Wixom, Michigan here the last 4 or 5 years, really getting our kind of like second wind, if you will. Went from little 70 grand a year business to on a rolling 12, we'd probably be at about 650, almost 700 by now. We got some great growth going on. Four full-time guys, myself in the field here and there, four trucks going to be running for snow this fall, and really, really yeah. get around some great people the last 18 months that has really wet the whistle to grow a regional $5, $10 million business, Marty. So we're coming, we're excited, and that's the whole ball of wax in like 3 minutes.
I have no doubt you're going to get it, and I'm here to help you get it. I think you're capable of a lot more than maybe what you realize. It's so cool. I first came across Brian Folks watching his YouTube videos, and I started listening to his podcast. And Brian, I have to give you a lot of credit. I don't know how many followers I have. I just know you have about 50 times the followers that we have. And the reason I think you have 50 times the followers that we have is you're so relatable and you're so humble. You've talked about wrecking a truck. You've talked about, you know, the disgruntled employee, the tough client, all those things. And you do such a nice job of reporting that to the field and kind of sharing what the journey is that you and your wife and your family are going on with a family run business. And I think it's a great story.
Thank you.
Today, for those of you that don't know, Brian does shop tours. You were just in here a few weeks ago. The shop tour of Grunder Landscaping is live. We'll put that in the show notes. You did a wonderful job with that. You're very talented as an interviewer and a host, and you're a one man band. You came down here. You were flying the drone. You were shooting the camera. You were asking me the questions. I mean, you reminded me of one of those guys you see on a street corner that's got the drums, the guitar, the keyboard, the harmonica, and you're singing. The whole thing. You posted a video with a blade sharpening tool that you used when you first got started. Mm-hmm. And to enhance the comments I just made about you being so relatable, I thought that was so relatable and a great reminder that we all start somewhere. We will put in the show notes the video of myself when I was 17 and the Holiday Inn owed me $80 and we worked them over on TV and got paid. That was kind of like my thing. Talk about that blade sharpener and where is it now?
Yeah. So for a little bit of context, my mom back at the trailer park, she still lives there. She won't move. She loves it. That's home. I'm like, hey, we'll move you around anywhere you want. She's getting a little bit older, so she's just staying put. That's mom. So she's cleaning out her shed. She's actually getting a shed rebuilt that we're able to bless her with that. Shout out to mom. She's cleaning out the shed and had this box and a little orange blade sharpener tool, you know, a little $20 guy you can get on Amazon. Gosh, I bought that thing, you know, 20 years ago. I don't even know if I got it on Amazon or just picked it up at a Home Depot, but I would have to imagine it says mower blade sharpener on it. Like somebody stamped it on there, but Lord knows that just looks like a cutlery knife sharpener.
Yeah. It looks like one you'd cut your finger off if you slipped with it the wrong way.
Yeah. It's like the little V teeth, you know, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
And again, folks, like we haven't made it by any means. I aspire to be like guys like Marty and so many other great titans out there. But when I found that tool in this box that my mom gave me because she's cleaning out the shed, I was like, I was going to throw it away. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I literally remember being up on Bickle Street in the trailer park. There's a white house, little trailer, 4022 on Bickle. And I remember flipping my lawnmower blade up, putting a big gray cinder block underneath the front deck, scraping all the deck out with a little putty knife back in the day, getting green, wet grass, you know, all over the place, and using that little blade sharpener with the mower deck up on a little 8.5 utility trailer, getting pulled behind my brother's Dodge Durango SXT and just scraping across the edge surface of the lawnmower blade, mower blade. And I'm thinking to myself, like, holy cow, how far have I come?
Yes.
And today, you know, the young kids out there that are growing these great businesses. I mean, we do some spring shop tours with great folks like yourself, Marty. And one of the other kind of crown jewel campaigns that we do for our content is the Teenager Tour series, where you get to zip around the country and interview these kids that are, you know, 16 to 21. And they've built six and seven figure businesses, you know, out of their parents' garage or while they're in college. It's phenomenal what the youth is doing these days. And I just think to myself, like, more than likely, as long as you're watching some kind of content out there, you're not getting started with a little $20 blade sharpening tool like I did. You're investing in the good equipment. You're able to know what's the next couple of next steps.
Maybe your parents have some wherewithal and they can prop you up a little bit. Doesn't sound like that was your case. I can assure you that was not my case.
No,
I didn't have anything either. And I think you end up appreciating things more, like the little blade sharpener. I mean, you probably should. I was going to say, I don't even know if I'd clean it up. I think I'd put it in a way it was, so it kind of shows the scars. And, you know, those are reminders. That's a beautiful story. That should go in your book.
It felt like a memory, you know, like you ever watch like a Hollywood movie and somebody touches an artifact and like the artifact kind of does a little flashback scene. It felt just like that. I held it. And I'm like, it's like an old warrior picking up his old sword, you know? And I'm like, holy cow, this just took me back 20 years. But hey, you know, we all start somewhere, and I did. I put it on top of our new shelf inside our new barn and our new building, and it's all exciting and fancy and all that crap. But at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, it reminds me of grit. It just reminds me of, I cannot believe in some regards that we've made it this far. Like God is like, just, it's just providence, you know, that we've even made it this far at this point. So I'm very, very grateful, very blessed. And it just kept me very grounded.
That comes out. I mean, you're a super nice guy. We had a lot of coordinating to get you down here. Marty's a moving target. I'm got a lot going on. You're super kind. My whole team has grown to like you and your kindness.
Well, thank you.
I'm serious. And that kind of radiates in your podcast and in your tours. I remember when I first came across one of your videos, it was on Facebook. And I started watching them, and I'm looking, and I'm like, and I'm seeing how many followers you have. And I'm like, what the heck? I have been doing this at the time, like 27 years. What is this guy doing? So I got hooked, and you know, we're out plowing snow today, and this is what we're doing. We got a flat tire. We did this. And I don't know. I was mesmerized by what you're doing. I remember even sending your stuff to my team, and I said, who is this guy? And look at the amount of content he's pushing out, and look at the follower. He's like kicking our ass. Like, what are we doing wrong here? And I don't know that we're doing anything wrong. I just think you have such a nice way and you're so relatable. And I admire your success. I don't want, this sounds bad, but I'm jealous, not in a bad way, like in a good way. Like, this kind of medium that you have to get your name out there wasn't around when I was your size. I think I would have been doing the same thing. So with that, How did you get into the podcast and landscape community business? Because, I mean, you have a significant endeavor. You have major sponsorships. This thing is a serious business. How did you get into that business?
Well, again, the answer might shock a lot of you guys, because when you and I talk on a podcast or we do these YouTube videos, we're both very animated folks. I don't know about you, but for me personally, that's not my default personality. Like, I am, okay. I'm actually an introvert, very quiet, very leave me to myself. I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone type. Remember, Marty, like, I used to work at True Green, and my whole MO that day was to throw on my headphones, listen to my Pandora music. Yeah, being a tanker truck by myself, and then I start cutting grass. I'm on the mower, talking to, you know, myself, just living in my own headspace. So I wasn't really like an outgoing type of individual necessarily. Well, we got on YouTube, and really, I always say, like, I was just trying to put out content that was fun, relatable, just stuff I was doing with and dealing with day to day. What I didn't know was how many folks would help me along the way with the comments that people would leave. Yeah. So I always say, like, it's the whole, like, who's helping who, like when you get a dog, like who saved who. Well, I'm a byproduct of the community, the industry. I mean, literally, I've been trying to learn from so many great folks. I know you were recently on a podcast with Sam Gemble with Atlas.
Yeah. What another nice guy. What a nice man Sam is.
He's like my big brother right now.
Like, he's Sam a super nice person. Yes.
We talk all the time. He's a local big fish by us. Yep. And so when he's
heck of a business.
Yeah, we've taken him and his wife Brandy out to dinner a couple times now. Just a great dude. Well, so I'm learning secondhand from guys like him, guys like yourself, and a lot of other great folks in the industry. But again, like, we just didn't have access to that kind of content 10, 15 years ago. And so when I started making the videos, I was always thinking to myself, let's leave some breadcrumbs for the Brian's Law Maintenance of 10 to 15 years ago. And one thing that I'll never forget is how impactful it was to buy my first trailer. Like, how impactful it was when I'm spending $600, and that was a major investment for my family. Like, that determined whether or not my wife and I ate steaks that month or pancakes that month. Like, that's a real right. story. Like, people right. hear that stuff, and perhaps you got started maybe with a little bit more of business aptitude, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, we need two mowers, a trailer, a half ton, three quarter ton truck, and you just kind of get it. But when I was 18, 19, 20, 22 years old, like, spending $600 is like spending $6,000 today or $60,000 today. It's all relative. So when folks are like, hey, what leaf blower to buy or what trimmer to get or what mower to get, like, I feel we've never lost sight of how important that conversation is, because it meant the world to me to upgrade to a steel BR700 or 800 back in the day, or a top of the line Red Max trimmer, or pick your brand. I think by not wanting to necessarily do social media, like, today, everybody wants to do social. Everybody wants a podcast. Everybody wants to make YouTube videos and kind of highlight who they are and what they're doing. And if you remember, my personality is the opposite. I didn't want to do any of this. I kind of reluctantly got started doing all this. So I've never, like, tried to impress anybody. I've never tried to sell anybody on anything. I've just tried to share here's who we are. Here's where we're at. Here's where we're going. Here's what's working. By the way, here's what's not working. And again, if you've got some thoughts or suggestions about what is working, let me know, because I'm still learning too. So that's been the whole, I guess, the whole ball of wax on the social media content. And that turned into a little bit bigger outfit. Like you said, it turned into making YouTube videos, and some brands started to show up. We were smart enough along the way to add a little bit of a toll road on some of this stuff. We found that a lot of folks wanted more, so we got on Instagram. And then from there, we in 2020, when COVID happened, podcasting really started to take off. So I decided to start a podcast. Back in the day, there was two options, Marty, to create content. If you're creating content, it was TikTok or podcasting. Well, I told myself, well, I'm not a 16-year-old girl, so I'll probably do podcasting instead. And so we started creating the podcast episodes, and it was very logical, because at the time I was on the mower 8 hours a day, like many other guys.
Right. And, makes sense.
Yeah. And Joe Rogan was blowing up, and the Gary V's. And so I said, well, let's make something for the guys a couple days a week. And man, I cannot even believe,
like, what you've done. I think you're closing in on 900 episodes.
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I know we're, like, north of, like, almost 3.5 million downloads, which is wild.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, it's, I don't even know how to really.
Well, and I hope we're, you know, some of my followers may be learning about you for the first time. I hope they'll tune in, because there's great stuff. You know, you talked about the blade sharpening tool and some other things. Are there any other things you did in your early days of your business, either the landscaping company or the community landscape community, that you look back on now that helps you realize how far you've come? I mean, 3.5 million downloads would probably do it, but
yeah, you know, I think one of the glaring things is the friendly reminders from the people that are always there to discourage you about how far or how much you're never going to make it. Right. They're always there along the way to remind you that who's going to listen to you. I remember starting our podcast and I launched it and I was very excited and I had a guy comment on Instagram. Who are you? What do you know? You're a small business. Who's ever going to listen to you? And I remember talking about him on stage a year and a half ago at our live event. And I said, because I showed a screenshot of passing over 3 million downloads. I said, well, good thing I didn't listen to the detractors. Right. Same thing on YouTube. You'll never grow a YouTube channel. You'll never grow. In fact, the reason I went all in on YouTube, and some people have heard this story before, is that actually I was courting a brand that I really like, and they know this story. And long story short, I said, I had 1,000 subscribers, Marty, and I said, hey, we should work together. Like, I'm gonna do something with this YouTube channel. And they said, and this was a blunder, but the guy said, hey, kid, and you know something's always gonna go well when it starts with hey, kid.
Yeah,
but
he said,
hey, kid, by the time anything happens with you and us, I'll probably be retired sipping a cold beverage with my gold watch on a private island in my retirement. And I went,
well, that was a motivator.
Yeah. So I decided to take our YouTube channel big time. And 4 years later, we had 100,000 subs. And today we work with that brand pretty in bed together, which, so it's kind of funny how it comes full circle. So I think we've pretty much made every mistake in the book creating content. I pretty much made every mistake in the book growing a landscape company. That's how we can make 1,000 pieces of content about everything that didn't work, Marty. So the parallel is, while I'm over here messing this whole thing up, you're networking with all the other great folks in the industry making it happen. And so that's why I'm about 15 million bucks behind where you're at.
This is going to be a great story in terms, both your businesses are. I think Brian's Lawn Maintenance is going to be a fantastic story. Mm-hmm. What are you learning about you as a leader and an entrepreneur? Like, You're doing the same thing I'm doing. I think yours is a little different than mine. I'm kind of reporting what we're trying here that's worked. You are trying some things that working, but you're so in tune and interviewing. You've been doing this, you know, the interviewing part longer than I have. You're taking ideas back to your business. What are you learning as a leader and an entrepreneur? What are some tenets you have about Brian's Lawn Maintenance that would help all of our followers grow their businesses, the landscaping part?
Man, that's a great question. Well, I feel like I've been pretty decent at casting the vision. And I know you talk a lot about definite purpose, casting a vision. I feel like we've done a pretty good job.
I would agree with that. You constantly talk about what you're trying to do and you don't sugarcoat things, which I really admire you. You could tell me you did 2.5 million. How would I know?
Right. Well, right? So here's the thing, though. I think we've been really good with that for myself and my wife for our personal goals. But I don't think that we ever saw a big picture about making it happen with our lawn care company exclusively and making that happen for our guys. So one thing that I'll just say is my wife and I accomplished quite a few of our goals about 18 months ago. We, you know, got out of debt, put some money in the bank, decided to build our dream house. We're doing okay. Like we struggled for a long time, a very, 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 very long time. Our little first apartment, for context, was 600 square feet and we lived there for six and a half years. I mean, we came from nothing, folks. And again, we're just getting our life going. But what I realized about a year ago was, okay, good for us, but what about our guys? What happened was we started finding some really good dudes and I realized I want to give them the same opportunity, the same.
Yeah. See, this is your maturation. This is great, Brian. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, and so what I realized was like, hey, good for us because we have a couple of multiple sources of income, but what about these guys? I want them to be taken care of. I want them to have a family environment, something that they can contribute to and really shine with. And so I remember you saying even on a podcast recently, Marty, if you don't give these folks opportunity to grow with your organization, they're going to find room to grow in somebody's organization.
That's it. And Brian, and I did not realize till I was in my 30s, this is so ignorant for me to say, but it's true, that people around here, other than Marty Grunder, actually had goals and things they wanted to do. Mm. And everybody that's listening to us right now is probably like, yeah, right, Marty. No, that's true. Like I just, I didn't, I got mad when somebody left. I couldn't understand why you'd want to leave here. Well, they left because they're going to make $4 more an hour doing something that maybe they can end up making $10 more an hour at. Now I get it. Okay. And I love hearing you say that, because when we start realizing we need to run our businesses from a perspective of what's in it for everybody, not just you, for everybody, I think you start to craft an organization and develop a culture that people want to stay and participate and grow and win with you together.
Yeah. Well, here's one of the best leadership things I heard recently was, let's just be honest. Most of you guys listening to the show or watching on YouTube, or Marty, you know, yourself, myself, we're self-professed killers. We're self-professed hardworking folks. Like, we don't need to, quote unquote, get more motivated to go make it happen, right? But at the end of the day, like, leadership isn't just pulling those folks with you or like casting the vision and creating a vacuum. I actually heard it was the opposite recently, and it made me really reevaluate some leadership principles that I've, you know, stood on. The best folks have folks working with them that push them to a higher level. You know, usually the leader's like, charge, run, charge the hill, like, and you create a vacuum. And, you know, we've seen the Instagram images of managers versus leaders, but I've even heard it more said that when you have great people on your team that push you to the next level, then you have a real organization that can grow exponentially. And that's where I'm really realizing today, like, one of the core lean principles that I've been learning the last year and a half is unused or unrealized potential from your team. True. And, you know, we've done, run a pretty lean outfit. We've always stayed small, kept it all kind of a deal. But man, when I started asking my team the last 6 to 12 months, Marty, about what thoughts or opinions or suggestions they have about growing our company. And again, we're a very small outfit, but when we had a little team meeting powwow about 3 months ago, and the guys came up with more good ideas, more creative thoughts, more suggestions for the company's growth and future than I even knew that they had or knew or were paying attention to, it made me realize what a blunder I had as a leader holding them back or holding them down. And here I am thinking to myself, man, nobody wants this thing as bad as I do. And I just realized, my gosh, we're sitting on a million-dollar business right here if I would just get out of the way. And I remember
And what you're saying here is applicable to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're doing 700,000 or 8 million, you're trying to get to 10 or whatever. All those things you're talking about are very applicable to any size business.
100%. And that's really what we're just trying to focus on right now. There's certain business principles you need to learn. There's certain financial metrics and cash flow. There's knowing your numbers with great software. We've really, the last 12, 18 months, tried to shore up as much of that as humanly possible. Because again, my big fear is now that we got this far, Marty, right? We don't want to crash and burn.
Yeah, right.
Because if we do, it's going to be a public spectacle. So
it will. And the struggle is real there. Because trust me, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, when I get up on Grow, on the stage at Grow, 1,000 people, I certainly don't want to get up and say, well, we're going bankrupt. We didn't make it. But listen to me, I know what I'm doing.
Well, and I've also heard people say, right, Marty, that you got offense to win championships. You can't just do dime defense and pretend you're gonna skate into the fourth quarter. I'm from Detroit, brother. Ask me how I know. But anyway, so we're with the Lions, we're racing to blow it in the fourth quarter. But nonetheless, we're on the attack. We're on the grow. We're excited. All the stuff that I'm learning from great folks like yourself and many of your peers, it's been oxygen, you know, to us. It's been just water to a dry sponge. You know, we've really tried to put out content that we're learning from the hard knocks, but for the love of gosh, you know, like, you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel.
And no, you're right.
Yeah. About 12, 18 months ago, I found some great folks like yourself, Mark Bradley. In fact, when I first met you in person, it was at SIMA last year.
Yeah, and
out of, you know, 3,000 people there, you were the first person that I actually knew. I was a fish out of water, and I went, Marty Grunder. And you said, hi, Brian. And I'm like, well, that's creepy. How does he even know who I am? And so it was a pleasure.
I watch all your stuff. I think it's awesome. I admire what you've done. You've done, you know, in terms of your followers and your content, you've kicked our butt at that. So I'm glad to have you as a friend.
Well, it's like getting to meet Michael Jordan at a meet and greet, and he knows your name, right? So it's pretty awesome, brother.
I don't think it's quite like that. You're very kind. I think there's several people that tell you it's not quite like that. So
I'm sure. Well, they also say never meet your hero, right? Because you're going to realize he's human too. One of those deals.
Yeah. Well, I am human, so
I don't know about that. When I came to your place, you guys had a pretty stout outfit and operation there. So I think the proof's in the pudding that you're doing what you're preaching.
Thank you, Brian. I mean, 41 years, we probably should have some of this stuff. That's what, I mean, I truly believe that. So our quest is just to keep getting better. Speaking of getting better, all these tours that you've done, the interviews, the engagement that you have, what are the most successful landscaping companies doing and not doing? Give us a couple gold morsels there.
Yeah, I think the first one is going to be culture. I think that's okay. The secret ingredient. And I don't mean like culture, like saying we have culture. I mean culture, like you can tell it's a brotherhood. And okay. I've been to organizations that have 150 people there, and you can tell it's rank and file. And I've met 150 people at other organizations that it's like meeting the Spartans that are going to battle for the 300.
Yeah.
You know, it's my favorite scene from that movie is when they're on the hill and Leonidas says, you know, what's your profession? And the guy says, I'm a potter. And the other guy says, well, I'm a blacksmith. And he says, Spartans, what are your profession? And they all went, haru, haru. Right. So there's a difference between some organizations that I've met that are 150 people deep, and that's a rank and file. And the other ones, they know their profession.
And what are they doing? Well, like, what do you see? What are they doing there that makes it not feel like rank and file? Or what are the ones that are rank and file? Why is it that way?
Well, you know, I'm learning and studying this as I go, but I would say the number one thing is people actually care.
Okay.
And treating people how you hope to be treated is not just a soundbite. It's something that has to live through an
organization. So let's dig a little deeper in there. Sam Gimbel is somebody that we both know. Mm-hmm. You did a wonderful shop tour at his place, new facility. It looked to me like Sam and his team and his family went at great lengths to make sure that facility was relatable, comfortable. Talk a little bit about Sam as one of the example of people that don't treat people like rank and file. Like, what have you learned from Sam in that department?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first off, like you said, it's an inviting culture, right? So it's warm feeling when you walk in from the first person at the front desk to just when I was walking through their yard randomly and people said, hey man, you new here? Do you need some help? Like, people were looking out for new folks, you know, and it's hard to teach, right? I mean, I remember a guy that was one of my gurus that I love following. His name is Darren Hardy. And he did an interview with the founder of Marriott, maybe, you know, JP Marriott. I don't know his name. Right. But he said, he was talking to him and he said, how do you get all these great people that are great, you know, at talking to folks and they're great at customer service? Like, how did you teach them how to be great at customer service? And he said, no, we didn't teach them that. He goes, we found people that are like that. And then we taught them how to sell hotel rooms. You know, it's a big difference. And so many folks struggle in the employee game, I've realized. Many folks struggle with the culture game, I've realized, because they're trying to fill technician roles. And although, like, that is what you are doing,
it makes sense, right?
We're forgetting the human element of what we're doing. You know, like, you can't just put a guy in that knows aptitude-wise how to spray a lawn or cut grass. Like, is that guy a good culture fit, a good team member fit? And so to quantify that, like, people care, people are going the extra mile. But again, all that stems from two things. One, the leader, but really the leader doing that first attracts like kind. And so when you've got a guy that says, I can't find any good people and everybody's a moron and nobody's going to work hard,
usually
you got to look at the leader and, you know, the writing's on the wall.
What are some things that landscapers get wrong? Where do you see them making mistakes? Certainly you've seen stuff where you're like, man, I got to file that away and make sure I'm not doing that.
I would have to say my biggest observation is not knowing your numbers, as cliche as it is. Okay. You know, I remember even asking you once, I was talking about this guy and that guy, and you said, yeah, are they making money there? And I said, man, that's a great question. I don't really get into the weeds when I do these tours on that. But
yeah,
that is something that, myself included, I've really had to go get my 202 education on finances with growing a larger outfit. You know, when it's just you and a truck and a couple guys and a little bit of payroll, like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, but you might be able to manage that to profitability. Just, you know, strong arm it into the black.
You can shovel your way to a better number. But when you have team members and you have employees and you have bigger overhead, you can't operate your business that way. And I feel, Martin, I'd love to get your perspective on this, but that's where a lot of guys really start to falter at 2, 3, 4 million, because what got him here won't get him there. You can't just outwork things. You can't just work hard. You can't.
No, you're right on it.
Yeah, eventually something's going to out you is what I'm
saying. Well, and it's going to happen to you here. I mean, at your level of sales, you know all your team's names, you know every single job they're doing, you know all your clients' names, your vendors, you know, you're probably dabbling in all kinds of things. When you're at 2 million a couple of years from now, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. You're going to have a manager that has significant responsibility. So a lot of these things that you were able to catch and almost will into the win column, you're not going to be able to do that. And that's when your metal is tested. And that's why systems are so important. That's why having an operating platform like Aspire, or I know you're on LMN, that's why that stuff is so critical to be aggregating data in the background. We always say here at the Grow Group, Brian, you've heard me say it, good managers make good decisions with good information. And you're spot on with your numbers. You're a smart guy. If we don't know what we're doing, it's very hard to make a good decision. And the last point I want to make is you got to be constantly looking at that stuff. And on a daily basis, you got to be deciding, okay, we need to do more of that. But just as important, we need to do less of that. Like every time we do a hardscape job, we lose money. Brian's lawn maintenance maybe just needs to, I think we need to stay out of that business. That's not for us now. I'm not saying that's you. We see all these nice pictures everybody posts on Instagram and everything. And I think sometimes just, you know, the coolest thing to be would be that you got money in your bank account. You can send your kids to college. You can marry them. You can build your dream home. Mm. You can help your church. You can help a charity. You can do something at the food bank. Your company can underwrite a community event, whatever it is. You know, profitability does a lot of things. And I think once you get over the, you know, the ego part of not worrying about posting pictures that are for you, I think there's good things that can happen.
Yeah, I like that you say that because I was talking to a friend of ours a year ago after a conference. We were at a dinner late night, and I said, you know, the real game in business is like quote unquote to make money, unless you're in a nonprofit. But even then, I always joke. I think the goal of a nonprofit is to get somebody else's profit, but that's a whole other story. I mean, why don't you just create a for profit business and give it away instead of bugging other people? But anyway, just think, that's a funny joke there. It's a funny joke, but everybody still needs profit. And so at the end of the day, the best businesses, they create cash and they create cash flow, right? And I look around at your operation, it was amazing. I love that you had said, yeah, but are they making money? Because I'm like, this is a dude that gets it. Because what we're doing, like I'm not here to just post photos on Instagram or make YouTube videos or create podcasts. Like everything we do is for profit. With that profit, we can change the world. Right. So I'm with you.
Amen. All right. You came to see our facility for one of your shop tours. I want to put you on the spot here. What did you see that we could do better?
That's a heavy question. Like, I don't even know if I have the...
Well, compare it to the other companies you saw. Was there something here that maybe I'm missing?
I think something that I've learned a lot lately, and I think all of us will forever be able to get better at this. So don't feel like this is an indictment on the Grunder Landscaping Co. But I think the value map streaming of getting out of the yard early, fast, and as quick as possible is something that myself included, everybody is constantly trying to get better at.
We're constantly working on that ourselves, right?
Yeah. I think what I've noticed a lot of the biggest outfits have done, and again, everybody's business is different, so take it with a grain of salt for everyone listening in. It's the loading of material overnight, the refueling of trucks overnight, the faster you can deploy. Like I have a friend of ours we did a shop tour with, and his philosophy is out of the gate at 7:08. And 6:50, everybody's there, they're doing warm-ups and stretches, and trucks are loaded overnight so they can roll out. I saw a lot of early morning loading, and again, a lot of change orders come in last minute, so we're always cognizant of that. So again, who am I to say with a you know a 2-hour site tour visit? But out of the macro of all the shop tours I've done, I don't think but one of them was as stellar as they professed to be at getting people out the door as fast as possible to get billable hours going.
Yeah, right.
There's a great guy, Russ Scott Ringers, and
I remember that one. That's beautiful place.
He was a killer. And 702 was a ghost town. I mean, there was lights on, flashers out, you know, trucks are going off the road and headed out and deploying. So I think there's a lot of, now granted, you guys had a very large outfit. You had 150 people rolling deep. So to have your place a ghost town by, you know, whatever it was, 7:30, I think that's still pretty dang impressive. But I feel like a lot of folks, and again, who am I to say this? I'm hoping to get into this level myself one day. But I feel a lot of folks that are north of 2 to 4 million could evaluate having a second.
That morning rollout is a big drip. Yeah, we don't load trucks the night before. We don't have somebody help us with fueling. Those are all things when we've done these field trips. We've got the schedules all out for those, by the way, for anybody listening that wants to come spend a day with us. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
But those are things we look at as we constantly try to tweak. What were takeaways from your tour here that were relatable to everyone? What did you pick up?
I really liked how you guys did a vehicle check, a safety check on the way out. That's critical.
Well, that was we don't do that every morning. That was because we caught some of our teammates, the mowing guys, not strapping their equipment down in their trucks, which is an absolute no-no. They're box trucks, so you don't know it. So that was a surprise attack is what we call that one. And that was not, you just saw that because we have an issue. And we caught two drivers without their stuff tied down. So they both got written up. I mean, it wasn't a good day for them, but we're not messing around when it comes to that.
Yeah, safety is
so that's
one.
We don't do that every morning. I may not have told you that was a surprise attack.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, yeah, I've noticed a lot of the great companies have like a supervisor checking chains seven ways, tires, just a quick little once around on the truck. Yeah. That's something that always caught me as a very like, hey, we care about you. Like we want to see you return back home safely. I think that matters a lot. What else did you have on the question on that one? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just wondering anything else that you saw here that we were doing that maybe would help you improve your business or help both of our listeners get better.
Yeah. First off, I mean, the marketing, the branding, the company culture, an organization that people could grow into, you could tell it was a big outfit there. So if I was somebody just coming in, hiring it for an application, and I looked at the operation, I said, there's opportunity here. And you put that well on display with the screens, the stickers, the signage. If you guys have seen the shop tour, you can see Marty's outfit.
We're going to put it in the show notes so everybody can watch it because you did a great job with it. Thank you.
Yeah. You guys did a well job there. I mean, the marketing, the branding, people know it's Grunder Landscaping Co. In fact, I had no less than a half dozen folks say, Marty's big deal around here. Marty's great. Love Marty. I can't believe you got to go hang out with Marty for the day. So, that was awesome.
You know, I watched the shop tour, Brian, and then Emily, who's my oldest daughter that does our content and everything, she said to me in a text, she said, not that you need your already larger than large ego enhanced. You should read the comments on Brian's shop tour. She said, they are nothing short of incredible. She said, his followers are very kind. You will enjoy them. And I read them, be honest with you, I got kind of choked up.
Yeah.
Because nobody said, they were saying nice things. And there were people on there that said, you know, I've seen Marty for a long time. This is awesome. And I don't know, Brian, it was very touching. Thank you. I don't even really know what to say.
Well, I had guys that had $3 million companies, $5 million companies, $20 million companies, a $4 million company, friends and peers that I talked to, Brian Kazak Landform, Sam Rank with Etch, Corey Ballard that had an exit with Perfect Cut. I had all those guys texting me the next morning. First off, it was a 50-minute shop tour, Marty. So you did a great job. You and I probably
went on too long. Sorry.
No. Well, hey, you were spitting fire the whole time, as the kids would say. So great job there. But to have somebody who already had a, you know, an eight-figure exit from their landscape company, wake up early and watch your tour that's still engaged in the business, Corey Ballard, and then to say, man, that guy's a killer. And to have access to something like this video 20 years ago when he was in the heyday of building Perfect Cut, that just speaks volumes of
that's nice. The
operation that you have and the takeaways that whether it's a 40-year-old individual or a 50-year-old individual could take away, or imagine the dream that it's painting for an 18-year-old kid out there. That's the next Marty Grunder. So.
Well, no, I know. And I think it's important that Brian, we slow down and listen to those young people, because that was me. You know, I was hungry. And I remember there is a local landscaping company here. It's called Grandma's Gardens. They're one of our competitors. There was another company that was one of our competitors, and their owner and his two boys would make fun of my brother and I. They would taunt us. They just were jerks. And Doug Reinhardt owns Grandma's Gardens. He was so incredibly kind to me when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. And I would go to his place. I would ask him questions. He would let me walk his job sites. And I'll never forget that. And anybody local here that's a young person that wanted help, I've tried to make time for them. We have upset some people because we don't allow our competition to come to our field trip because of the nature of what we're sharing. And I had a young guy, him and his dad are both very upset with me that I wouldn't let him come. I feel bad about it, but I got to protect some stuff. I'm not going to share everything like that to people that are right here in business. But I offered to take them to lunch. I said, you can come in here and I'll show you around. So, you know, I care about that stuff. I am grateful for Doug at Grandma's Gardens, Mike Rory at Ground Systems, Frank Mariani in Chicago. I mean, I could go on and on about the people that I've had that have literally spent hours with me.
Mm.
And, you know, I watch your shop tours and listen to your podcast because I really need to try to stay relevant. You have a lot of young followers and I want to understand what they're thinking. And a lot of them are very smart and we can get better by listening to them.
And that's the truth for all of us. I mean, that's why I love doing the teenager tour, getting to hang out with these kids that are 16, 18, 20 years old.
That's, and some folks would say, so cool.
Yeah. Some folks would say, well, what do they know? They're kids. And I'm like, well, have you seen the kids these days with the chat app, you know, AI and the business they are building? I mean, these kids,
it's nuts.
These kids will tell you about EBITDA, P&Ls, balance statement, you know,
yeah, crazy.
It's ridiculous. This is stuff I didn't even know until 30.
Right, exactly.
In my 30s. And so it keeps us all grounded, keeps us all rooted, keeps us all humble because, you know, business is it's a level playing field. I mean, some people have more resources to start, but a lot of people, you know, that get that usually don't have grit. And that's the great equalizer.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're all in this together. We're getting close here to 50 minutes. So we're going to draw a close here to Grow Show powered by Steel. We've got Brian from Brian's Lawn Maintenance out of the Detroit, Michigan area, and also has Fullerton Unfiltered, your podcast, which is fantastic. What's on the horizon for Brian's Lawn Service and your landscape community? Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, we're looking to grow, Marty, to be a powerhouse. We want to be a platform business in the local market. I want to build something big. Whether I sell it off one day to private equity, sell it to my kids, sell it to the team, that's a whole other story for an exit for another time. But I want to build something big that we can be proud of.
Yeah.
$5 million is where I know I can get to. I just, for whatever reason, believe that. After 10,
you should believe that. Yes.
Yeah. I do. And I mean this with all love and respect to every single person. I've done about 42 shop tours. I counted the other day. They're all fantastic folks, but they all put their pants on one leg at a time. Corey Ballard's
the way to look at it.
Corey Ballard's full throttle. He might jump into his pants, but that's a whole other, you know, story. But everybody, they're regular human beings. I've seen them highs and lows. I've seen them answer phone calls. I've seen them interact with people. What I've noticed, Marty, here's one big takeaway. I know that there's so many good folks here in Metro Detroit. We've got some of the smartest, sharpest, brilliant folks, not only in the automotive industry, but just in healthcare and everything around. And I know that I can build a landscaping company that people are proud of, that can make very competitive wages, and I can recruit and find great talent. And that's why I know that I could bust out a $3 to $5 million landscape company, one, like with my own effort, but two, with the great folks that I can put around me. Because it is going to have to be a team effort at that level. I know there's so many great, talented folks in this local market that want to do something big. And that's where I really see us going over the next five or 10 years. So I'm very excited about that.
All right. Well, we're going to be following you. How can people get a hold of you? And tell us about your Lawntrepreneur Academy. I think you have at least one halfway decent speaker coming.
Well, don't tell Sam Gemble we said that. He'll blush. You know what I mean? I always call him our Timu John Maxwell. You know, we tried to get John Maxwell in, but he wanted $100,000.
Timu John Maxwell. That's funny.
We got our discount John Maxwell, Sam Gemble. But Marty, you're humble. You're coming. You're going to deliver a power-packed speech. As always, you're one of our keynotes. Very pumped about that. Lawntrepreneur Academy, I'll start with that and I'll wrap up with where people can find us. But Lawntrepreneur Academy is our live event, November 8th, Novi, Michigan. We're trying to catch up to folks like the Grow Conference. That is an icon industry event. I mean, that everybody has known about it, seen about it, or at least went once. And Marty, we're trying to follow in your guys' shoes. You've built an incredible organization there. And the relationships, the networking, the content, the education, second to none. It's a world-class event. I've been, and kudos to everything you guys are doing. I'm walking around going, damn, we got to get our stuff together, you know? But our conference is maybe more for the misfits that are out there, Marty, and the folks that are on the come up. A little bit different crowd. You know, most of the guys are 0 to 2 million, you know, 0 to 20 guys. We've got some great speakers coming on in. Hope to see you guys there in November. But outside of that, Marty, first off, just got to say thanks for the time and having me on the show. This is a very big deal. I told Liz, my wife, she's downstairs with the kids. Normally, they can run around in the house. I couldn't care less. But I said, I'm going to be out with Marty Grunder. Like, take the kids to your mom's house. Take them to Cedar Point for the day. I don't care. Whatever you guys need. Here's 200 bucks.
Oh, gosh.
Here's 200 bucks. I need a quiet house.
And, I hope I can get out of this little podcast studio. My head's getting bigger.
Yeah. Well, I told my wife, I'm like, this is a big deal. So first off, thank you for having me on the show today. And again, the folks at Steel, beautiful folks. Very, very grateful for those guys investing into stuff that you're doing and working on.
Oh, Steel's great. Great equipment, great people, great supporters of the industry.
I always say without folks like that, it's very hard to produce content. It does cost time and money, right? But all things being said, if you guys want to follow along, Fullerton Unfiltered podcast, Brian's Lawn Maintenance on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LawntrepreneurAcademy.com. Other than that, shoot me an email, shoot me a DM, say, hey, anytime, any place. I still answer all my messages. Love to get back with you guys. And if we can ever, ever do anything to help you, I am always here for you. This industry, Marty, has been such a blessing to me. I am literally charged with paying it forward, because without folks like you pouring it out into guys like me, I would be out there floundering probably for another decade still. So it's very sincere, and I'm just very grateful to be here today, brother. So thank you.
Brian, you're a champ. Thanks for being on here. We enjoyed it. We'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show, and if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know. Take your phone out right now and text it to them. Thanks for joining us this week on The Grow Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose outdoor power equipment makes our jobs easier every day. Did you know that you can tour Marty's Landscaping Company? We're hosting 4 Grunder Landscaping Company field trips in 2025, where landscape pros can come see our operation for themselves in a small group setting. Meet the GLC leadership team, ask Marty your questions in person, and connect with other landscape pros. Space is limited. Visit growgroupinc.com today to sign up.